is Amanda and Kara, and we are the host of Crime Quest. Say hi, Amanda.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
All right, so we are starting this podcast because we both love true crime.
Yes.
Not that we want to be criminals.
Or victims.
or victims, but we love true crime. We love learning about it. We love watching ID. We like listening to other podcasts about true crime.
Definitely.
So this is our gift to the world. We are going to start off with a murder that happened in our hometown. And it is the murder of Donna Hall and Mike Margaret. They are from Henrico County, Virginia. The murder actually happened in Henrico County. And it was in 1984. So, I'm just going to jump right in.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
So, it was August of 1984. It was a Friday night. Donna Hall, she's 18 years old. Mike Margaret, he's 21. They are both off work that night. They're about to go out and have a good time with their friends. They get off work. Donna Hall gets off work around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and she, from what I understand, goes and meets up with a friend who has never, I can't find anywhere online where it mentions the actual identity of this friend. So anyway, she goes out with a friend, comes back to her house, which is in the King's Crossing apartment complex, that evening. Mike gets off around 9 p.m. He goes and picks Donna up from her apartment. They go back to his house. He showers and gets ready. They leave his house, and they go to a small gathering of friends. Apparently, this is not a party. Everyone online says it wasn't a party, and a person who hosted this supposed party says it was not a party. It was like a bunch of friends getting together, which...
So it was probably a party that they didn't want their parents to know about.
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking, because I would have said that. If I was 18 and I was like, I'm going to my... I wouldn't have said, I'm going to this huge party. I would have said, I'm going to my friend's house. Because remember, you know, Donna was 18.
Yeah.
She still lived at home. Her parents are probably still wondering where she's going at night.
Exactly.
And from what I understand, Mike also still lived at home.
Okay. Yeah. Do we know where they worked?
So, they have not been... I wasn't able to find exactly where Donna Hall works.
Okay.
I may have had it written down in my notes. I don't have it right here. But Mike worked for VEPCO, which is, I think, Virginia... It's like an affiliate of Virginia Power or something like that.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
So, he worked there.
Okay.
And, you know, remember, he's 21.
Right. So he's been out there for a while.
Yeah. Also, they've been together for 4 years, which I thought was really interesting, because you usually don't meet people that are that age that have been together that long.
Right.
So that would mean that, so if they'd been together 4 years, Mike was 17 when they got together.
She was 14.
And she was 14.
So technically, well, I don't know, that probably still wasn't legal, but... Back then, I don't think 14, anybody cared as much.
Yeah, 14 and 17 is like, I don't know.
True. That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's
maturity-wise, I think.
Borderline. They, I don't know why I think that's pretty important, because it's going to really, and we'll go into, of course, later what happened in the actual murder, but I think it's, for some reason, I find that to be odd, because I just remember being a teenager, and it was just really unusual for people to be together that long.
Right.
And if they were, it was like, they're going to get married. And maybe they were.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway. So they go, Mike and Donna go to their friend's house that night. And the quote-unquote get-together, small get-together.
The not-a-party.
The not-a-party. They tell their parents that they're going camping.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
So it's not a party and they're going camping.
It's not a party.
Okay.
And they're going camping.
Hmm.
Then they're at their friend's house, and they also tell their friends that they're going camping.
Okay.
There is a really awesome Facebook group page for this case, and I will share that in the show notes. There are some people on that Facebook page that have indicated that when the two of them got to the party itself, or the get-together, excuse me, when they got there, they were looking for someone, but I have yet to see who that someone was. So okay. I'm not gonna really go into details about that because I'm not sure who that person was. So they get to this get-together. They're asking about where someone is, and it would seem to me like they didn't stay there that long because you have to figure Mike got off work at 9 o'clock at night. He goes home and showers and gets ready. So they probably didn't leave his house until 10.
Right.
Or 11. At least, 11. Yeah. They go to the friend's house. The last time that anybody saw them was at 11:30 at night.
Okay.
And which means that they may have only spent
half an hour.
So that's not a very long time to be. And you have to figure too, like they're teenagers. I'm guessing they were probably drinking at this party and doing other things.
Right.
People are probably not paying attention.
Right.
That much. It's also the end of summer. Well, it's still summer.
Right.
So people are having a good time. It's good weather. You know, people may have not noticed anything that was offhand for them.
Right.
So then they go and they say, okay, you know, we're going to head out. We're going camping. Okay. It's 11:30 at night, and that's the last time that anybody sees them alive. Except, of course, the person that, or people that murdered them.
Okay.
So, fast forward, they are reported missing. I apologize, I could not figure out when they were actually reported missing. My guess would be over the weekend when people figured out that they weren't home. So this was a Friday night, it was August 17th, and they were reported missing at some point, but their bodies were actually not found until the 21st, which I believe is a Tuesday.
Right.
And there was some really bad weather over the weekend, a lot of heavy rain. So the crime scene was not in a good condition in terms of forensic evidence collection. Right. So let me explain about what happened at the actual crime scene. So they find their body. They have been stabbed to death, and both of their throats have been cut. Mike has defensive wounds on his hands. Donna does not. Donna, however, is gripping some pine needles, which is an interesting point because investigators believe that that may be evidence to indicate that the crime took place there and that they weren't murdered somewhere else and then dumped there.
Right.
So there is, you know, they're pretty certain that that's actually where the crime took place. Okay. So anyway, it's August 21st. The person that found them was the guy. I should probably explain where they were found.
Okay. And where the area that they were in, it wasn't as built up back then, was it?
No.
Now it's a lot more retail and
yes, it's like apartments. It's like residential now.
Okay.
But back then, you know, in Henrico County on the west end of Henrico, it was still kind of not rural, but there was still a lot more open
more
space.
More suburban than open, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the place where they were found was this place where a lot of people were known to go four-wheeling.
Okay.
There were some paths back in the woods. There were some open fields, which is not there now.
Yeah.
So there was a guy that owned that property, and he was out walking his dog, I guess, on that Tuesday, and then that's when he encountered the body. I know, that poor guy. I mean,
it's like the worst.
It's the worst. I mean, but you know,
that would be the end of walking for me.
I would probably not go hiking anymore after I
fence the yard, let the dog out, never leave again.
Although it would be pretty interesting to come up on that and know that you helped like, right. solve, you know,
right.
help
yeah,
solve
definitely.
Something, but I would be terrified.
Or find a missing couple of kids.
Exactly.
At least for closure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that over that weekend, people were,
yeah,
you know, kind of upset about it, but,
right.
but again, you know, this was 1984. There were no cell phones, there was no internet,
right.
there was no way to really track someone's whereabouts,
right.
so when you said, I'm going camping, I'll see you on Sunday night, and then you don't show up, I mean, that's a lot of time
right.
for somebody to get away with a crime.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, you're not expected to show up until Sunday. You don't have a text coming in from a mom checking in.
Yeah.
Or from a friend that you're not answering, and that's when they get suspicious.
Yeah.
So, with this, it's, they literally didn't get suspicious until the end of that time period.
Yeah.
When they were supposed to be home.
Yeah.
So
this man finds them, and of course the police are called. Now, the way that their bodies are found is one thing, which I was explaining, you know, Donna was clutching pine needles, Mike had some pretty bad defensive wounds on his hands.
Okay.
And the whole crime scene was investigated. There's actually some videos online of the actual, like, the original footage from the police.
Oh, wow.
Of,
okay.
Like, looking at the crime scene, and I've watched it. It's
right.
pretty interesting.
Okay.
The Jeep, so Mike had a Jeep Wrangler, which is a pretty, like, fun, and it's
right.
an outdoorsy type of
yeah.
car, so it doesn't surprise me that he may have driven back into to where they were found. They
okay.
were found in this, like, wooded area, like, back off of these paths, and the Jeep was, like, backed up
okay.
into, I want to say that it was, like, backed up into the woods or something.
Okay.
And then their bodies were found pretty close to, well, actually, I can tell you exactly. I think they were found 100 yards from the ditch where the where Mike's Jeep was parked.
Okay. Was that off the road?
And this is, yeah, this is, like,
right
not, there. This is not on a main road. This
okay.
is, like, off of a, this is, like, off of a, in a,
back road?
In a back road.
Okay.
At least that's the way
or
the map looks.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't look like this was on a main road. I think
yeah.
that's probably why it took a while for anyone to find them. Is,
right.
Well, not a while, but it,
a
you know, it wasn't obvious. They weren't, like, parked on the main drag.
Right.
Out at a neighborhood. They
right.
were, from what it looks like, he was parked, according to the map, let's see, the field, the woods, the corner of the field, Jeff's house. Jeff, I think, is the guy that found
okay.
the
so
bodies.
That's
the property
owner. Or the farm,
yeah.
farmer owner. I don't know if it was a farmer, but
yeah, so
fields.
The Jeep, yeah, the Jeep, okay, I found it. The Jeep was found, like, if you look at this map, you can see
okay.
the Jeep was, like, down, like, in the woods, like,
okay,
basically.
So,
but there was a path or a little road that went back in.
Okay.
There. So it was, like,
maybe for the four-wheelers or something
yeah.
that had cleared that? Maybe he just drove on that?
Yes. That's
okay.
what it appears. So what's interesting about this is that Donna's apartment is really close to where this happened.
Oh, okay.
So her apartment
is
the
about 100
yeah, it's the King's Cross. Yeah.
Or
yeah, it's like
or about yeah.
Which isn't that like a, what is a football field?
Yeah,
like
a football field away. Yeah.
So why would they go camping
that close
near an apartment?
Right.
Or near like where Donna lived.
Right.
So that's a really big question that everyone's kind of wondering
okay.
is why would you even, if you're going camping, go camping. Why
right.
why would you go there?
And we have campgrounds, so it's not like they could
yeah.
have gone camping.
Exactly. But I also think that where they were, according to people on a lot of the places online that I've read,
right.
that area was more of a kind of a teenage hangout. People went back there and hunted and rode four-wheelers, but they also went back there to just,
yeah.
you know, hang out.
Yeah.
Which, of course, means probably drinking and
right.
smoking pot
I mean,
or whatever.
Yeah, you find a private place in high
like
school.
Like a lover's lane.
Right.
But then there were people that were also saying that that's really not a typical place where Mike would have taken Donna.
Okay.
Nobody is saying, like, oh, yeah, that was their spot.
Okay.
It seems pretty out of character for him to go take, especially to take her back there.
Right, right. So maybe it was her idea? If it was out of character for him?
Maybe. Maybe she was like, let's just pull off here and we'll sleep and get up in the morning. But so that ties into why they were there and why... Okay. Why they think that, why the police think that they were there in the first place, and why a lot of other people think the cause of the, like, what cause, like, why they got murdered.
Right, right.
So, at the party, they alluded to their friends that they had a large sum of money.
Okay.
And that they were gonna possibly purchase some drugs.
Right.
However, I've not been able to find out exactly what type of drugs they were wanting to purchase.
Okay.
So, when they found their bodies, they did not find this large sum of money, but they did find that Donna's dad was missing a lot of money out of his safe.
Oh, yikes.
So, they think that this murder may have been drug-related. Like, maybe they went back there, and they were trying to have a drug, you know, meet with a potential buyer or someone that they were going to buy from and do an exchange, and something bad happened, or the person was never intending to actually sell them anything. They were just going to kill them and take their money.
Right. Okay.
So that is one of the big theories, and I think it's a pretty good theory, but they've never really been able to make any
connection,
like who. There are people that have been suspects for this, but, and I'll, you know, we can get into that later, but back to the crime scene itself, the bodies were found about 100 yards from the Jeep.
Okay.
They were, you know, of course, stabbed. They had both of their throats cut, which I think both you and I agree is like overkill.
Right.
Why would you
do... That's anger.
That's anger and rage.
That seems more personal.
Yeah.
So if you're just robbing somebody, you rob them and get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you stay and...
Yeah. Well, not only that, it's like, okay, let's say that they met a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they met a guy, or a girl, it could have been a girl, they met a person that was going to sell them drugs. They don't know them very well. And... But they know that they are maybe a dangerous person.
Okay.
So if it was just about robbing them and taking their money...
Right.
All they would have to do is threaten, you know, maybe pull a gun out or whatever and say, like, give me your money, and then take it and leave.
Right.
And Mike and Donna don't, like, they may have never said anything to anyone. They may have just been embarrassed and been like, okay, well, we won't do that again. And I could totally be naive about that, but I guess what I'm saying is there would be no need for someone to kill them.
Right.
Unless that person, Mike and Donna, maybe knew something about the, you know.
Yeah.
Something that, I mean, at the end of the day, two people are dead because of it.
Right.
And I just think that the overkill of it seems personal.
Right. Right. I mean, that's something you do when you're angry with somebody, not just you don't want them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can make sure that you can shoot them and leave the bodies if that's all you're worried about is shutting them up.
Right.
Why do you stay and literally desecrate the body at the same time?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's a big, that says something to me. Something big.
So, this is unsolved you know, I don't know if I said that at the beginning, but this is an unsolved case. This happened in the 80s. This is something that, you know, would have been solved fairly quickly if it had happened now.
Yeah.
Because of the cell phone. We can look at cell phone records. We can find out who their friends were on Facebook and who they were talking to. But back then, they don't have any of that. They're going off of word of mouth and... What people saw, witness statements. So, you know, the big question is, what did people see? What did people hear? What are people 31 years, or 32 years later, not saying that they think doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think investigators run into that a lot, where people are just like, well, you know, I did see that weird person
right.
hanging around, but I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And then it turns out that was the person.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
listening to a podcast the other day, and it was like this man who was like kidnapping children out in the Midwest. People finally came forward and were like, oh yeah, I do remember that strange man hanging around.
Oh, gosh. No.
Yeah, and it's like nobody
come
says anything.
Earlier.
Yeah, come and people think it doesn't matter.
Right.
Or they're like, I want to be nice.
Right.
People, don't be nice.
Yeah.
You need to say something if you see something unusual because
yeah.
two people are dead.
Right.
Yeah,
if, I mean, it's like they say in New York, if you see something, say something.
Exactly.
And especially, don't be worried about what the cops are going to say to you. Just go say
yeah.
something.
And that's... I should also bring up that the investigators in this case, they don't care. And in any case, especially one that's this old, they don't care that you were smoking pot 32 years ago or doing other things.
Right.
You know, they just want to solve it. They
right.
want to bring closure to the family.
Yeah.
So that brings me to the other point about this, which is that so they ran a toxicology on Mike and Donna.
Okay.
Mike and Donna both had Demerol
in
their
okay.
systems.
That's, yeah.
And I think you and I had talked about that at length before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know anyone that has done, like, that has recreationally used Demerol.
Right. No, I've never
so,
heard of that.
Me neither. And so from what I understand, if you take a lot of Demerol, if you take Demerol, period,
right.
it's a sedative, it's a narcotic.
Right.
It is very strong. So, I mean, conceivably, if they were taking Demerol and they were with maybe this person that they were going to do some sort of drug exchange,
yeah.
again, it's like all they would have to do is like
yeah.
take the money and leave.
They couldn't chase them.
Yeah, like they would be inhibited.
Yeah.
Why would... So again, it brings us back to, you know, Mike and Donna are, first of all, they're alone. Like, the only person that can defend them, really,
mm-hmm.
is Mike. Donna looked pretty tiny in her pictures.
Okay.
And we will put a link to the, there's a couple of articles online about the case, and because I definitely want people to be able to see what they look like. But Donna's pretty tiny. Mike looks larger than her.
Okay.
So he could have defended them, but if they're both on Demerol...
Right. I mean, just knowing from taking medicine in the past, your reflexes are slow.
Exactly.
You don't think as quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to affect you.
Yeah, so somebody needs to stab you to death and slit
yeah.
your throat to get the money away from you? I don't
right.
think so. I
yeah.
think...
No.
I think that there was definitely something personal. So...
Okay.
This case is fascinating and it has a lot of points to it, but one of the things I thought was interesting that detectives did was, and I don't mean to laugh, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think that using every tool and resource you can possibly get is
mm-hmm.
is something you should do if you're
right.
investigating
of
something.
Course.
And so detectives hired a medium or a psychic a few years into the case to shed some
oh, wow. okay.
insight on what may have occurred. So
right.
Her last name is Setzley. Like, I can't spell it, but I will put it in the show notes. So she had this theory, or at least she said that this is like what she saw, is that Mike and Donna were... They were going to buy drugs from someone that they knew.
Okay.
But this person was more of like an acquaintance, and she described the person as being somewhat tall, blonde, and shirtless. So
okay.
kind of, and I mean, it's summertime. Maybe this person was I shirtless to me says active guy.
Right.
You know, construction, outside a lot. So she described this person as being tall and blonde, like kind of a shaggy blonde hair, mm-hmm. And having no shirt on. And so Mike and Donna picked up this person in his Jeep, I guess, and drove into the woods to do this drug deal. And what happened was, apparently this person had just broken up with their girlfriend or something, and Donna said something about it, mm-hmm. and he took it the wrong way and lashed out and basically raged out and killed them both and took their money, and that was the end of it. And that is the theory. I was 18 once. I'm not saying that I was buying drugs with thousands of dollars, but I will say that, you know, when you're 18, you meet people, you do things you may not normally do when you're in your 30s, that's for sure. And, you know, you're probably a lot more likely to trust people. So what I was saying before is, like, you know, maybe, you know, they have this idea, they're like, let's just do one drug buy, you know, mm-hmm. we'll buy whatever drug, we'll sell it, we'll make some cash, and we'll go on a vacation. Like, it may have just been something really innocent. Like, they were never intending to be kingpins. And out of everything that I was reading about the two of them, they just sound like normal teenagers. Like they probably smoked pot here and there. They drank with their friends. They had a good time. You know, they went to beach week.
Yeah.
Their lives were just starting. And they were not drug people in the sense that they were, you know,
out there known addicts.
I mean, I can't really find anything on people saying that they were, like, being rehabilitated or anything like that.
I think there's a misconception with people, though. People see, if you admit to any kind of drug use at all, people see it either as one end of the spectrum where you're at rehab, you're ODing in emergency rooms, or you're not doing anything at all.
Exactly.
You're not touching anything bad for you. There's no, people don't see that middle ground, and it exists. Yeah. That's the thing, and I think that's very, obviously there's a spectrum of where they were on that middle ground, but I think at that age, it's just experimentation, and you settle down eventually, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were massive drug addicts or anything like that. I think it sounds like they were experimenting with things, and,
it sounds like your typical teenagers.
Yeah.
You're 18, it's summertime, you're having a good time with your friends, and heck, I mean, I knew some people that, you know, that may have bought, you know, something to sell it later, and it wasn't like, oh, they're gonna be drug dealers. It was like, I'm just doing this because I need to buy some beer later.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a big deal, and that's the thing, is this probably wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think the sad part is that they're, you know, of course, they're not here to tell us that it wasn't. And it's such a sad story. And I just really hope that by us sharing it, that it can really get the word out there and get people to understand that these human beings are no longer with us because of somebody else who is still out there, maybe, and walking around and living their life. And, you know, we need to hopefully bring this person to justice. So I'm hoping that by getting this out there, that it will do that. But there were a few suspects, in the sense that I think the police did talk to a lot of people, but again, I was only able to find, like, a couple that seemed viable.
I didn't find a lot of information on
me
the suspects either.
And that's the craziest thing. It's like, you just like that, you know, they went to a party, or not even a party. I keep saying party, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like
the not a party.
The get-together. The not a party.
Right.
The get-together, and they just, you know, I think they calculated their time of death to be like 1:30 in the morning. So there's like 2 hour gap.
So we don't know what they were.
So 2 hours. I mean, that's how long it took.
Right.
And nobody knows what happened. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what they found in his Jeep, because I thought it was pretty interesting. So one of the things that they found in the Jeep was not a tent.
Oh, okay.
So he told people that he was going camping, and I did read that he actually was maybe the person that he was looking for at the get-together was someone that was going to let him borrow a tent.
Oh, okay.
And that and maybe that's why they ended up just kind of going close to home and you know, kind of sleeping on the ground, because when they found their bodies, there was a blanket on the ground.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So, like, if you put the whole drug deal out of your mind and you just think of it as, like, you know, they just were trying to get away, have some quiet time together. They went out into the woods. They laid a blanket down. They had some Demerol, and maybe the Demerol was, like, totally a random thing.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them got it from a friend that was like, hey, you guys don't have any, you know, do you want to try this? I tried it last weekend. And they were like, sure, well, whatever. And Mike's like, well, I don't have a tent, so let's go do Demerol in the woods. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally speculating.
With how much less narcotics were regulated, it could have just been left over from a dentist visit or something.
That's so true.
I mean, I think I had it with my wisdom teeth years ago.
Yeah,
I think they gave me
a
prescription of it, and that was in, like, the late 80s.
Okay.
So it's not hard to, I don't think it was that hard to get legally either. So maybe it was just something they pulled out of the medicine cabinet.
So. Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, that's such a good point. Like maybe, but I mean, I would hope that if they pulled it out of someone's medicine cabinet, if it was one of their parents would have said, gee whiz, my Demerol's missing from my appointment.
But if you, on the other hand too, if you've got a big medicine cabinet, like I know I have medicine that my kid took like 4 years ago back, antibiotics that he never, I know he's supposed to finish them, that he never finished, that are back in my medicine cabinet.
That's such a good point.
So, I mean, you just stick it back there and you just don't realize it's still there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like what if they were just back there? Mike couldn't get his hands on a tent.
Yeah.
I don't know how much tents were back then, but, you know, now it's pretty inexpensive to get one.
Right.
But, you know, they're pretty fly by the seat of your pants teenagers, so they're like, whatever, we'll just sleep on the ground in the woods, which I totally would have done that as a teenager.
Yeah.
I would have just been like, yeah, let's do it.
At that age, I think I might have.
Not now. I know. There's too many hornets in the woods to be doing that.
There's too many woods in the woods.
So, yeah, I think what ended up happening is that I'm not saying, like, this is what happened, but I'm just saying this is what I think happened.
Okay.
Maybe, as a theory, they just were back there. They were, you know, laying on the blanket and looking up at the stars, because remember, that part of town wasn't as developed.
Right.
So you probably could still see the stars.
Yeah.
And they were, like, looking at the stars, and they took their Demerol, and they're all loopy and probably just about to go to sleep. And what if somebody was in the woods? Like, what if it was just a random thing, and the person happened to notice that they had money on them, and maybe it had nothing to do with drugs?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like where they were, it's very, I think it would be very rare for a random person just to be wandering around randomly on a late night like that.
I don't think so, because when you look at the maps, the apartments, let me pull it back up. When you look at the actual maps, there is a clear, I don't know if you can see it on, that's not on that picture, but like here, you see these lines.
Right.
These are roads now, but back then they were like these little paths.
Oh, okay.
And the King's Crossing apartments are here.
Right.
And people would just, like, go back there and, like, walk around.
Okay.
Like, and what I was saying
so
is, like,
sense.
There were people on four-wheel, like, people would go hang out back there and drink beer and whatever. So, like, what if it was just some rando, which...
So, did they, I guess, if it was a random person, were they back there with weapons then?
So...
If they were hunting, they would have a
knife.
Yeah. It was August, though, so hunting season wasn't opened up, was it? I don't think so.
I have no idea.
I don't usually...
I don't
know it opens up, I think, in September or October. But even that, I wouldn't expect anybody to be back there hunting deer or anything.
Illegally hunting.
Right, which is very
possible. And
they came
across them doing something they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah, and that's very, very possible,
which could explain the overkill on them both, but it really doesn't, because if you came across somebody doing something they weren't supposed to be doing in the woods, I would think you would just... you would run.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't go up to them.
Yeah.
Like, and you're on Demerol, so why would you say it? Like, you'd just be like, oh, whatever, you know, somebody's over there doing something.
Yeah.
So, that is what I think is one of my theories, is it could have just been a random person, and that might explain why it's been so difficult for it to even be solved at this
point.
That's
true.
Because... there are suspects, but there are also the part of it. It's like that spiral. It's like you start in the with the most obvious people,
right?
And then you work your way out. And when you start getting further and further out, it's like you're really depending on the community to tell you who are the weird people in the neighborhood,
right?
Who are the outliers, the ones that, you know, that night. I actually did see a guy walking on the side of the road that night by himself, and he had blood all over him.
Yeah,
you know, it's that kind of stuff. That investigators are relying on when you start getting out of the core, like friends and family and acquaintances, and then you start getting into this big unknown part.
Right. You hit that brick wall.
Yeah.
And you're not sure where to go after that.
Exactly.
But I feel like, I mean, this case has been open for, 32 years now? Mm-hmm. They've never closed it?
They've never closed it.
It's gone through different investigators?
It's gone,
Did they do DNA tests? I can't remember.
So they have run a DNA test, and they, I believe they have run two.
Okay.
Now, DNA tests are not something that... are quick.
Right, right.
Especially if you're talking about a 32-year-old case.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the status of that is. I can definitely, you know, as we hear things, we can definitely update the Facebook page and make sure people are aware of what's going on with it, because I definitely want this to help
stay
in some
out
way.
There, yeah.
But yeah, they were able to find blood splatter in the Jeep, because when you pulled it, like, when you look at the Jeep, when they found it, this was not a hard top Jeep. It was a soft top Jeep.
Yeah.
And Mike had rolled up the windows, like, because the windows are like that plastic. So you roll up the windows, and there was like blood splatter in the Jeep, but it, you know, little tiny flecks of it in there. And I'm guessing that was probably flung off of the knife.
Okay.
So.
Was the blanket that was found, did that have blood all over it too?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because I thought I read somewhere that it was soaked in blood too.
It may have been.
Which played into the possibility of them being moved there after the murders.
That's really interesting.
But I don't think it was found in the back of the Jeep.
No, it was actually on the ground.
Okay, so it wasn't...
It's in the crime scene footage. Like, you can see it on the ground.
Okay, so obviously we'd have to see some sort of blood in the Jeep if they had actually put them in the back and moved it. And if they did
why wouldn't they
leave them in the blanket? Why would you take them off the blanket and arrange them differently?
Exactly.
On the ground.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It seemed
And that Jeep was small. They didn't... When I looked at the crime scene videos, and I could be totally off by this, but I did not see a back seat in the Jeep. It looked like he had taken the back seat out, and it was just the two seats.
Gotcha.
So
he needed it for storage or something.
Maybe. Yeah, there was... He had, like, suitcases back there, which, again, indicates that they were going to go... They were going somewhere.
Right.
They just didn't have a tent, and maybe they just went out into the woods... for the night, you know, Donna and she wanted to be with her boyfriend.
Right.
They probably didn't want to go to their parents' houses because they're there all the time.
Yeah.
They wanted to do something different. So it's Friday night and they're out there and something horrible happens. So, I just thought those factors that the throat cutting thing is what makes me really think that it was someone that they knew.
Yeah.
Something I was talking to with someone else about the case, and they were telling me that, you know, what if it was more than one person.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be a possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's a possibility, but, I mean, with, didn't they say Donna had a lot more Demerol in her system, too?
Yeah.
So if she was incapacitated, really, if she didn't fight back at all, then it would be Mike, and I guess that would make sense with the defensive wounds. He's the only one actually fighting back. I would imagine it would be a lot easier to hold him down with two people, or to get him into the place where they need him to kill him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think it's a possibility, but I also think two people planning, or even not planning, but not necessarily planning, we don't know if they planned it or not, but I mean, two people committing a murder that vile at the same time, that makes me wonder. Because
really?
Then you have to find two people who literally are okay with slashing throats to kill people.
That's so true.
And, I mean, I know not everybody is good, but I think that's stepping over a line that even murderers may not want to cross.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think, I really think it, there's a good possibility of just the one person committing the crime. But again, it's so hard because we don't have any information about what happened at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than the murder, I mean, we know what happened with the murders, we know how they were laid out, we know how their belongings were, but we don't know what happened between them getting there and that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the weird, I mean, that's the hard thing to figure out. And that's, I know these poor parents not getting any closure is just
heartbreaking. It's very sad, and I would definitely, I would love to see it get solved. I just, like, I look at their pictures online, and I'm just seeing, like, I would be friends with
babies.
These people.
They're
I would
babies.
Be friends, like, these are people I would have hung out with when I was 18.
Right.
So, when the case was pretty active back in the 80s, there was a $15,000 reward.
Right. Okay.
But unfortunately, Mike's parents passed away, and they're the ones that were, I guess, the
offering
the reward. So now the reward is not active anymore. But I will say that there's been some great community effort in the area of Henrico County around raising the reward fund again. And I will, of course, we will make sure to set up some links to that. Because we want people to be aware if they want to contribute to the reward fund online.
Yeah, that would be, that's great.
I don't know what it's up to now, but the last time, well, I was just looking on there, and I think it's maybe like $7,000.
Yeah, I think that's
which
what
is,
I saw.
I mean, that's a substantial amount.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean.
And so I just wanted to insert that in. A couple of years ago, it was like last August, they had a fundraiser for the reward fund at a local like a Henrico restaurant,
and they
had like
nice.
A live auction, or not a live auction, but like a silent auction, and you know, friends that went to their high schools, because Donna and Mike went to different high schools,
right?
So they were there to kind of to get together and talk about the case and talk about the lives of Mike and Donna, which I think was, I mean, that's a really great thing, and keep it alive and keep people asking about it and coming forward with more information. So there are, like I said, there are some suspects, or there were, but there were not many. There was a lot of craziness going on just in the Henrico County during that time in the 80s.
Right. There was the one guy that we've looked at, but not... Not,
yeah.
I don't know if it's serious, but, I mean, his name has come up a few times in looking through.
Mm-hmm.
What was his last name? Neil. His first name was Neil.
Yeah, his name was Cornelius, but they called him Neil because of obvious reasons. And his last name was Florman.
Florman, okay.
And
he was the heir to the
Reynolds
fortune down here, which is huge in Richmond, just so... Just to let you know, it's a huge company here. But I saw where they had... I did see where they had found an alibi for him that weekend. But then there was some question around his alibi.
Mm-hmm.
But then the interesting thing with him is that 2 years later, he was caught sneaking into women's houses and raping them. There were 5 or 6 women he went in and raped. And he was tried for that and arrested. He was arrested and tried, and then he did serve jail time, but he's out now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a lot of, I mean, I've seen a lot of discussion about him,
mm-hmm.
just because it seems like he knew them as an acquaintance.
Yeah, apparently he was, like, loosely, I wasn't able to see where people were like, oh yeah, Mike knew, mm-hmm. that Mike was friends with him.
Right.
I wasn't able to see that, but I think that they knew him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like the circle, that circle in that area, I mean, people were
they
close
didn't live far from
area.
Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think friends, you know, when you're that age, you go to a party.
Right.
And there's 100 people there, and you meet people from
right.
different schools and stuff.
Yeah, and especially in that, I mean, that was everybody kind of, back in that time, you had the city,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody kind of spread out into their own neighborhoods. It was not nearly as built up as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you stayed very close to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really go, unless you were working or something like that, it was, your circle was in that area. Because I know we stayed in our county. I live in the Southern County, and, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Now you go out more. Back then, you didn't want to go into the city very much because it wasn't safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if they were in the same, running around with the same circle, obviously they're going to come into contact at some point. But I think it's fascinating that there's still there was a question about his alibi, even though the police have cleared him.
Mm-hmm.
And then find out that he's the one committing those rapes 2 years later.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I don't, so my issue with the Neil Thorman thing is that it doesn't really fit with what he was
right.
doing in,
okay. yeah.
in context of those breaking and enterings and the rapes.
Yeah.
He wasn't cutting people's throats. He wasn't
right.
murdering people. And the person that did this to Mike and Donna was, I mean, it was vicious.
Yeah.
And not to say that being, I'm certainly not saying that being raped
right.
is not, but
right.
I'm saying
but
that this is like, this is, they killed, like, they were murdered.
Right. And you don't necessarily see someone go backwards from murder to just rape.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you have killed some of the women that he molested?
Exactly.
Because if he doesn't want to be caught, that's, so yeah, I see that. I just, I don't know. I feel like,
you know,
you want like a clear cut.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's
option.
Possible, though, that it could have been him?
I think it could have been, but obviously if the police have cleared him with that alibi, and I think 32 years later, even if they had cleared him, if they had found something to link him to it, and, you know, maybe it's just far enough out that there's no forensic evidence now that we can test to
That's
link
true.
Him.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a great guy, obviously.
Yeah.
He was a horrible man.
Yeah.
But I don't know, was he horrible enough to commit murder?
I mean,
and how did he, if he did and he had an alibi, who was his alibi and why were they giving him that alibi?
Exactly.
So yeah, I know, like, my head says no, it wasn't him, but then just wanting a solution and wanting someone to pay for what happened to them,
yeah,
that's, you know, you seek out someone that you can pin it on, even if it's not true.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's where I think the police have done a really good job with this, as far as the investigation, keeping it open,
mm-hmm.
keeping it, and especially, you know, the family keeping it out there, the family
mm-hmm.
and friends keeping it out there. That's the way that it's going to get solved.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it will be one day.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
Yeah, so, I was trying to think if there was anyone else big that had come up, but I think those two guys, so the guy that was the nickname Quentin,
right,
they cleared him back in the 80s, and they also cleared Neil Thorman, but, you know, my question is, what is cleared,
right.
and can we revisit that, but, I mean,
yeah.
I don't like accusing people, but I'm just saying for the sake of the investigation, and I haven't read the case file. I don't know
right.
what, I don't know what they've found.
Right.
I'm just going off of what I see on the internet, which we all know is 100% correct. So,
wait, it's not? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so you didn't know that?
No.
Okay.
No, well, now you know. Great. Let me go stop my child rearing practices that I've been using.
Yeah,
I mean, I know the police have been with this forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the same investigator for a long time.
Yeah. I think in the 80s it was Detective Frank Dorton with the Henrico County Police Department, and now it is Detective Thomas Holsinger.
Okay.
And I will give you, I can put the phone number to contact him, but I'm sure if you just call the Henrico County, Virginia Police Department and say, I need to talk to Thomas Holsinger if you have tips for the case.
Yeah.
Because they need your help. This is 32 years old, and it needs to be solved.
Yeah, definitely. And I know if I were their parents, I'd, it would just be a nightmare. I can't imagine how they feel.
Yeah.
And that just breaks my heart for them.
It definitely does. I mean, these were people, you know, and that's something, too, with this podcast. I mean, sure, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to find out why you know, murderers do what they do, but I think in the same light, the victims are the ones that you really want to highlight, and they're the ones that whose lives were affected, and I really want to make sure that when we're talking about the cases, that we really address the victims a lot, make sure that they're really in the forefront of it, because they're the reason, right? They're the why.
Exactly.
So I don't have anything else to add other than please, if you have information about this, please call Detective Thomas Holsinger at the Henrico County Police Department.
Yeah.
And also, we will have a Facebook page up very soon, and we will put those links in the show notes. We have a Twitter account, though.
Yes. We're set up.
We're official.
We have the Twitter account's at Crime Quest Pod. That's our Twitter handle. We also do have an Instagram now at the same handle. So those are active. Please go follow us and join, and we'll try to keep those updated.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll be back with another one soon.
Yeah. We're gonna shoot for probably twice or one every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it may get more frequent as we get better.
Yeah. So, So this was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
I'm glad
we did this.
Yeah. Them.
All right.
This is great. So thanks for listening.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.